This is a series of slides that is provided by Nigel Adams dealing with the early history of the Holden Mine and the area surrounding the Holden Mine in the Cascade Mountains. The first slide you see on the screen is that of a map showing Washington up in the upper left-hand corner and the position of the Holden Mine in the area just near Lake Chelan. Now, the pictures which follow come from the collection of Nigel Adams and are selected ones to relate to the early history of the mine. The picture shown on the screen at this point is that of William H. Holden. And Holden was the man whose name was associated with the ore body and became the Holden Mine later on as it was discovered and developed. Holden had a partner in this in the early stages. In 1896, he and this man, the Denny family, he worked with Holden, and the two of them prospected in Railroad Creek Valley from 1893 until 1896. And after that point, the Holden lease was filed as a patented lease, and it was unfortunate for the Denny family that they were left off of the lease title, so that they never did have an important part in the development of the mine itself. Here is a picture of some of the early pioneers that were working in the valley along with the Holden interests, and this picture would have been taken sometime prior to 1900, probably about 1896 or 97. The exact location of the cabin is not known, but it was probably up in the Honeymoon Heights area. This is a picture of Holden a little later in life, and he became a very prominent person in the development of the mine. He formed one company after another from 1896 until 1918 and lived and worked out of the Chelan area and in the vicinity of probably Honeymoon Heights was where he headquartered while he was in the valley. In Chelan, this is the home of William H. Holden, and it was a very prominent home, and he played an important role in the community during those early years. This is an interior view of the Holden home, and you'll note one thing in the room. There is a horn sitting at the back and onto the left side. Holden was quite a cultural person and was very much interested in music and in some of the community life and so on. So you see here that this was a man of influence and played an important role in the development of the early history of Chelan and the other areas. Now, in the early prospecting of Railroad Creek Valley, this is one of the early cabins, and it's one that still exists in the valley. It's right below Heart Lake, and it's known as the Mary Green Cabin. And it was probably built in around 1895 to 1900, and it's still standing today, although it's much more covered by trees and quite inaccessible at the present time with no trail to it. In publicizing the Holden mine claim, Holden got out a variety of publications to advertise this ore body, and his main purpose was to try to sell the ore body to some company that would come in and develop it, and that he would have a major stake in the interest of it. So here you see one of the advertising plates that he used. And he made this very attractive. He was a good entrepreneur, a good man to get out publicity and so on. So that's typical of his period in the development. Here is a stock certificate showing the Holden Gold and Copper Mining Company. And if you notice in the upper left-hand corner, this is dated December 1899, so it's prior to the turn of the century. And Holden formed one company after the other during this period in time, and this is one of the stock certificates that was listed in connection with that company. Here is a later picture in one of Holden's advertising brochures showing himself, and I have no idea what the building in the background really is to represent, but it's presumably on Lake Chelan and a part of the advertising of the area. And this is a man named Crocker Perry, and he was a banker in the area, and he loaned money to Holden. And when Holden died in 1918, the loan that this man had advanced had not been paid. So after Holden's death, Perry took over the mine and held it for a while, but the name of the patented mineral lease, of course, was not changed. But he held this until 1928, when the Howe Sound Mining Company got interested, and he made a deal with the Howe Sound Mining Company to come in and make an extensive study of the possible development of a major mine in the area. And that resulted in the Holden lease being sold to the Howe Sound Mining Company, because at the end of the option of 4-year study, the Howe Sound Mining Company elected to go ahead with the development of the Holden Mine. And so from 1932 then until 1937, when the mine opened up, there was a great deal of work to be done. One, first of all, had to be the development of a good road up the valley. And here you see the development of this in its early stages, so that the road then got built, and the pack trains and this kind of thing that carried in supplies was a part of that road building process, which later led to construction in the valley and so on. Here is a good view of the development of the road per se, and you see here the rough terrain that it's going through and the development of it. Now, here is the beginning of construction up in the Holden area where the mine was to be located. And, of course, lumber and everything, including all equipment, had to be brought in on barge and then carried up the valley by whatever method they could find at that particular time. And then construction started. Here is a scene in connection with the development of the road and the clearing of the property for building buildings and so on. In the Holden area near the mine, Railroad Creek had spread out over the valley, and a number of bridges had to be established in order to get materials and buildings built and so on. And this is one of the scenes in that area. Here is another one of the bridges in the Holden Valley along Railroad Creek, and this will be a building site in the near future. And a final shot here of the kind of equipment that was used in developing these early roads and the structures in the area. Now we see here a pack train of people bringing in materials and supplies and the beginning of construction, which probably started the camp for the families to move in, which was known as Winston Camp. And in the latter stages of the development of the road up to Switchbacks, you can see a view here of the upper part of the Switchbacks and Lake Chelan in the background. And once they got this road developed, then they abandoned the tram line from Lake Chelan up to the top of the Switchbacks and then began to move up valley instead of simply bringing their material in up from the lake up to the top of the Switchbacks and then through the woods. Here is a view of Railroad Creek before it was changed in the Holden, in the vicinity of Holden, because the flat where Holden village now stands was an area where the creek meandered across the valley, and one of the first tasks that had to be accomplished was simply to move the drainage pattern of Railroad Creek. So they pushed it away from the side of Copper Mountain and got it located farther to the side of the valley so that they could build buildings, and then later this became the site where the tailings from the mill were deposited. Now here you see a view of the valley from above, looking down in the valley and showing the position of the road that had to be developed through the area. Another view looking up the valley to show the position of the road as it was put through to the mine area. This is some of the early construction, and a number of sheds were built to house material as the mill was about to be built, and the lodges and the buildings up in the Holden area, and temporary sheds of various kinds were used. And one of the first areas where construction began was up in Honeymoon Heights. And this is a view of Honeymoon Heights. And this development began immediately after the mine was committed in 1932, and so engineers moved into this area and began to do the work that was necessary to get the mill and other buildings established. The view of Honeymoon Heights now showing these sheds and the houses where people lived in Honeymoon Heights from prior, 1932 until actually the abandonment of this area did not occur until 1941. Another view of Honeymoon Heights showing the buildings that existed at that point. And this a final view of Honeymoon Heights looking up the valley with Bonanza Mountain directly at the far part of the photo, and Heart Lake Falls can be seen to the left. So you can see the position of Honeymoon Heights in the valley and on the side of Copper Mountain. Now, in the winter, the Honeymoon Heights scene was this, and you can see again Bonanza covered with snow and Honeymoon Heights, of course, with snow. And one of the difficulties in that area was the fact that this was an avalanche area, and that was the reason for the company moving this entire group out of Honeymoon Heights and into what became Winston Camp and the main part of Holden proper, in order to be spared the exposure to the avalanches that occurred in this particular area. Now we see the next major development in buildings was the building of the Winston Camp area, which is up the valley from the ore body and across the creek, so that there was a place for the miners and their families to live, and Winston Camp became the primary place for families, while the hotel and lodges, which they call barracks, were the areas for couples and young men, single men. Here's a view of the early construction up in Winston Camp, and you see Bonanza Mountain in the background here up the valley. This view of Winston Camp gives you a good idea of the size and the kinds of houses that were built in the Winston Camp, and these were all built by people doing it on their own. They scrounged for the lumber and whatever they needed, and built their own homes and owned their own homes, which were provided for on a special lease basis from the Forestry Department, so that the entire camp was built in the National Forest and on a forest special permit. Another view of the buildings, the homes, in the Winston Camp area, and across the creek you can see the snow-covered tailings of the mine and the mill site, which shows also in the picture. And in the fall, the fall colors in Winston Camp area made it a beautiful sight as the trees began to change color and before winter set in. But then when winter set in, there was a great deal of problem with snow. And you see here the problem that exists as the snow accumulated on the roofs and on the homes, and it had to be removed, of course, to spare the building. Now here's an example of one of the homes in Winston Camp. And a winter scene, and you can see again the amount of snow that accumulated in this particular area. This is a good shot of the one of the homes showing the snow piled up against the house, and the people actually tunneled into their homes in many cases because the snow would be 8-10 feet deep in the camp area. Another view of the entrance to one of the homes with the snow drifts on both sides that were higher than your head. Kids enjoyed this because it was a great place for sledding, and people enjoyed the winter sports that were a part of the life of the community in the area. Another view of Winston Camp showing some of the buildings in the snow, and a picture again of the snow in the area, and you can see how it settles on the wires. There's very little wind, so it doesn't drift, but it simply piles up, and here it is in Winston Camp. And the winter was a long one in many ways. But it was time for recreation. They were bobsledding, and in this case you see the bobsled on one of the roads in the village proper. This is a view of the bus that ran from the mine area down to the end of the valley to Lucerne. And you see on the bus the name Holden and Lucerne, and people could catch this, and they bought tickets from the company, and it ran on a scheduled basis up and down the valley. Another view during the, after the winter snow melts out, and you can see the Winston Camp area and some of the homes that existed in this area. Another view of Winston Camp across Railroad Creek. And the miners who lived in the Winston Camp area had to go across the creek to go to work or either in the mine proper or in the mill. Here is a view from the mine area looking back across Winston Camp area, and this gives you a good idea of the number of houses that existed in this area. There were 100 home sites that were staked out here, and the houses are shown here, as you can see in the photo. The Winston Camp area was a community that had lots of children, and here is an example of some of the children playing in a splash pool up in the Winston Camp area. It was a good area for fishing, and here's a fisherman showing off his catch of large-sized trout that were in the area, and that was one of the favorite recreations of people living at the Winston Camp area. This is an interior view of one of the homes in the Winston Camp area. These were very comfortable homes. They were not lavish or anything, but they served the families very well. Now we center our attention on the building of the buildings that became the hotel and the recreation area, and the chalets, which became the homes for the supervisory personnel of the mine, and this was in the what was known as the Holden Town site. And across from the Holden Town site now, you see the area cleared for the building of the mill. And the mill was a very large mill, and it was built on the flanks of Copper Mountain, and here you see it from across the Railroad Creek area. This is a view of the buildings that were built in the town site, and you see the recreation hall, the dining hall, and the dormitories, and the staff houses, which were the chalets of the supervisors. This picture shows a Boy Scout troop, and from the very early days of the gathering of people in the valley, a Boy Scout troop existed and flourished throughout the history of the mine. And there are many mementos left of the scouting days that these young people enjoyed in the valley here. This is a view of the store that was built in the early 1930s and served the people both of the townsite area and of Winston Camp, so that this was a store that existed where Holden Village now has its store, and in the same general area. This is a view of the gymnasium as it existed and was built in the middle 30s, and it was a very functional building that served for all kinds of gatherings for the company personnel. A view of the pool hall, and the pool hall, the tables, of course, are still here after many, many years of use, and they're still in good condition. The bowling alley was established in the early 30s, along with the other buildings, and this still exists today, and was a very popular place during the mining days. You see here in the gymnasium a stage which was used for performances of various kinds, and here you see a group of people gathered and in the gymnasium and the stage being shown. Here is the Holden School, and all of the children of the mining families went to school here for the first 8 grades, and teachers then were hired to teach the school here, and you can see there's quite a large number of pupils that attended this school, and this went on from the early mining days of 1937 to 1957. So that many people went to school here and finally graduated. Here's a class and their teachers from the Holden School. And another view of a classroom of the Holden School. And here, finally, some of the teachers are shown on the outside of the Holden School. And this has existed since the early days of the mining operation. And here, a final shot of one of the classrooms showing some of the desks and so on, which are still in the village, and the building, of course, is still being used. This is the wife of Nigel Adams, who provided these slides, and Nigel and his wife lived in the village in the early days. Nigel was moved into the valley with his father, who was one of the major bosses of the mine, and grew up in the valley, went to school here, and finally went on out to get his degree and wound up with a PhD degree dealing with the history of the mine. And it's through his good offices that we have pictures of the slides and of the people who were instrumental in the early history of the development of the mine. It's important to note that the women of the camp area and the townsite area had many activities that they engaged in, and there was always a good community feeling with women's clubs and groups meeting on a regular basis during the time the mine was operating. And the men were busily engaged in either this operation of this mill or in the operation of the mine within Copper Mountain. So you see here a good view of the extensive building that became the mill and ran from 1937 until 1957. In April of 1938, the mill produced the first batch of concentrate that could be sold, and that was sold to the Tacoma smelter. And this is the picture that records the first batch of ore that was shipped from Holden to the Tacoma smelter. It was a great occasion for a celebration in the valley, and people came to the Holden dock where the ore, you can see, was loaded and then onto barges, and it went on down then to the city of Chelan, and then to Chelan Falls, and finally to Tacoma Smelter. And that was April of 1938. A view of the main street of Holden during the days of the mining operation and the snow that accumulates in this area. This is a picture in the change house, which was located on the third level up near the portal to the mine. And people came here in their clothes from their homes and changed into working clothes, and then came back here after their shift, took showers, changed back into their street clothes, and then back home across Railroad Creek. And so this was a common meeting point for many of the workers. This is a view of the tunnel going into the mountain. And that, of course, became the portal and the haulage tunnel to the ore body. And you see it here in the foreground. This is the village dog. His name was Scruffy. And he was a very interesting dog, apparently, and everybody seemed to know Scruffy. And he had the run of the town and frequently got on the bus and took a trip down the valley and so on. But a character, no doubt. Now, here's a publication that the Howe Sound Mining Company put out in its early days. And that publication we have. And it has a good record of the early history of the mine. And you'll notice it states the largest copper producer in the Northwest, so that this was a major mine and became a very important part of the history of the Northwest. This is a cutaway of the mine area shown in that publication. And you can see here the presence of the Holden town site, the position of the mine, Heart Lake up the valley, and Railroad Creek running down to Lake Chelan, where the company dock loaded out the ore concentrate for shipment. Here is a view of one of the company picnics, which was an annual affair. 4th of July was a big time when the company provided goodies and people gathered and had all kinds of activities, particularly for the children. And for the adults, it was always a ball game. And the ballpark is seen here with the bleachers occupied. And you can see the valley up above from the ballpark area. The gentleman on the left is Nigel Adams, and Nigel is the person who provided the slides for this particular historical record. And we're indebted to Nigel, who has been very active in organizing reunions of the miners to come back to visit the area. And these have occurred on frequent intervals and hopefully will go on into the future. This is then the conclusion of our presentation of this historical sketch to give you some idea of what went on in the days from 1887, when the first survey was made by the Great Northern Railway, until the time of production, and then some information during the history of the mine until it closed in 1957. And my name is Rudy Edmond, and I thank you for your listening here, and this will conclude our presentation of the history of the Holden mine and the community that existed here. Thank you.